Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
It don't matter, he's dope, he knows that, but he's pro. He's so stagnant, he knows when he goes back to this mobile home, that's when it's back to the lab again, yo. This old rhapsody better go capture this moment and hope it don't do it. Lose his mouth in the music, the moment you own it, you better never let it go. You only get one shot, do not miss your chance to blow this opportunity.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Thank you for the privilege to speak with you today on this important topic. My name is Chiara, and I'm one of our co-chairs in the Pensacola Democratic Socialists of America. I presented suits can't be filed until January, and we've seen other municipalities taking a wait-and-see approach. I think that that makes a lot of sense, because we don't need to put a harmful piece of legislation that we know is going to hurt people on the books if it's not absolutely required. And we especially shouldn't do something that goes beyond the draconian draconian bill. I think it was really wrong to do DeSantis' dirty work tonight and go even beyond that, using the state law as an excuse to pass some gruesome, ridiculous policies. And I commend Bear. I don't know what his politics are. I don't care. I commend you for your principled stand.
All I have to say is shame on the six of y'all who voted to pass the public camping ban, and thank you to the one of you who vocally said no. For the six of you, I hope the names of those who died on the street echo in your ears as you lay in your warm beds tonight.
So, there was a lot of passion at the city council meeting on Thursday. And, you're going to have to hear me on this for a second, but the first voice you heard several clips from was Chiara Chapleton, a guy wearing a dress, who is the representative from the Pensacola Democratic Socialists of America. And so what? You listen to what people say and whether the ideas are have merit or not. I mean, I thought that Chiara had some things to say that were worth listening to. You know, that we cannot trespass our way out of this. I mean, that's probably right. That some municipalities are waiting on what the state law is going to mean, and if it gets litigated, and if it even gets upheld. There's some merit to that. There's definitely merit to the concerns that were raised about homeless people who have died in spite of the things that we have tried to do. That was actually a different person. That was Kyle Rose talking there. But there is an argument to be made that the state passed this law, and now we are left enforcing it. And if you view the law as bad or unjust or draconian, this is the ban of public camping, then I at least see the logic in saying that the local city council is doing DeSantis. If you view it as dirty work, the local city council is doing the dirty work. Okay? And I say that because it's very easy to write people off based on how they look or how they sound or they're strident or whatever, instead of, you know, listen to the arguments. Listen to what's being said and see if there's not merit in it, because a lot of times there is. And, you know, if you can't listen to people that you wouldn't normally, it's very easy to write Chiara off as the Democratic Socialist of America. But, you know, sometimes the Democratic Socialist of America has a point. You know, they might. And so you always want to listen to people and see what they're saying. All right. So there were two different considerations. There was the A ban and the B ban. And I know I have... Radio's a weird thing. Can I just, as a moment, tell you? Some of you listen to all 4 hours of the show. Some of you listen to some of it live and then go back and listen to the podcast at newsradio923.com. And some of you catch your 15 minutes. And I never know which group I'm talking to. So I know if I've done this topic, which I have, at 5 a.m. and 6 a.m., there are some of you like, third time, Andrew, really? And some of you are like, oh, this is interesting. Keep talking. Yeah. I know. Sorry. It's the nature of news and the nature of radio also. So the A bill, that was the one. Well, let's start with the B. The B bill is the one that implements the state statute. and gives the city the power to basically deal with people, enforcement power against people who are camping on public areas, overpasses, streets, sidewalks, and parks, you know, public areas. You cannot camp in public areas. That started October 1st. Starting January 1st, we can be sued for it if we're failing to remove them from the park. So, like, January 1st, if you go to, like, you know, the disc golf course at Hitzman, and there's somebody sleeping in a hammock, which happens, you can sue the city, is kind of the idea, because the city hasn't removed the person. Okay? So this ordinance is designed to give code enforcement and PPD the opportunity to actually make them leave those areas in order to say, we're trying. Because if you don't put a law in place, then they don't have any power. Maybe they don't have power to do something, and maybe we can get sued more easily because we're not taking action. That's the argument, okay? I accept that argument. I would have voted with the majority on this one. They voted 6-1, okay? Charles Baer raised the argument. He's the one that voted no that she was praising in that intro clip. Charles Baer said, look, we're not required to pass this law. The state has passed their law. They can't make us pass this law. I think we should wait and see. It's not necessary. Okay. I don't think he specifically said wait and see, but I think that was the viewpoint. And everybody else disagreed with him about that, so they passed it 6-1. The A ban is, I think, the far more interesting one. Okay, and we'll talk about that one in just a second. John has got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about. Still, we're looking good so far on that. I-10 seeing a little bit of a slowdown as you approach the Highway 29 construction zone right there. Also, if you're at the light at 29 and 9 Mile in all directions, you're going to see some delays there, just congestion. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you have a plumbing need of any kind, you need to get it fixed, you got a leak, a drip, a weird sound in the wall, the pressure, the temperature, or something you tried to fix and maybe made it worse. Not that anybody standing in front of this microphone would ever do that. Then you can call Barberry and they'll fix your fix, okay? They did for me and they were great. 477-8782 for Barberry Plumbing. I thought it was easy and I made it worse. Anyway, because, you know, plumbers are hard. That's a hard job. Okay, back to the camping bans that the city passed. First reading last week. That means there will be a second chance to talk about this. The B ban, the second ban, is the one that implements the state ordinance, okay? The A ban is the one that goes way beyond the state ordinance and bans camping on private property unless you have permission from the homeowner, and also on all commercial property, whether you have permission from the homeowner. And remember, originally we talked about this because it included sleeping in your car. And so, like, you know, Walmart and Cracker Barrel and some other places have a policy of allowing people to stay overnight, and at least truckers for Cracker Barrel, because they want you to have a safe place, but also you're likely to get up and go shop or eat, right? So it makes sense. And it looked like that could be prohibited. And there are so many people who live in their cars that I was very uncomfortable with a law prohibiting people from sleeping in their cars as long as they're sleeping in a place that they're allowed to be legally, right? Well, they removed that part. Okay, there was a caveat that it had to be judged to be part of a pattern that showed that they had begun camping and weren't just sleeping one night. So I hear that, and the mayor made that clarification that was in the law. But they actually just deleted that part. So the part about, you know, not sleeping in your car has actually been removed from this ordinance. Although, weirdly, it is in the state one, if I remember correctly. So it's kind of an odd little thing. But so they removed that. So the question is now things like, you know, having an open fire, or having a tent, having cardboard boxes, you know, having a sleeping bag. That's the stuff that would get you under the camping ban and then get you, you know, removed from the property. But there's a very interesting question about what about with permission. And you had particularly Jen Brayer, City Councilwoman Jen Brayer, brought this up and said, you know, the challenge is that it seems like, you know, some people would complain that this is restricting camping because you can't camp on a commercial area and you can't camp on private without permission. But she's like, I'm worried that this is actually making it easier to put homeless encampments in neighborhood subdivisions.
Right now, if code enforcement went out to a house that had camping on it, then they would ask the homeowner if the people had access to the indoor facilities. If they don't get access, then that camping would be prohibited. If they do have access to water and sewage, then the property owner can permit it. And that's where I'm scared that we're gonna actually end up moving camps into residential out of commercial because it's more protective of commercial than it is of residential.
Yeah. I mean, I think her analysis is right, that this is the with permission, you could look next door and suddenly there's a homeless camp next door with the permission of the owner. In fact, people might have been strategically doing this on purpose to, you know, buy a property so they would have a place to offer to the homeless to camp, and there'd be no way to stop that because currently, as she said, you know, you can't do that, but this seems like it might. Now, I think there's a legal argument to be made that the existing ordinance that prohibits you from camping unless you have access to the house, which is kind of how it's written right now, that would still be in place, that this carve-out that says cannot camp on private property unless you have the permission of the homeowner does not eliminate the other ordinance that says even with permission of the homeowner, you have to have access to the house and the facilities in order to camp on. So I don't think it's quite the nightmare scenario that she's worried about, but I get what she's worried about. And the idea of where would these, you know, impromptu homeless camps be, you know, how hard would this be to enforce? How easy would it be for people to take advantage of it? I mean, these are all reasonable questions, because the other question is, where are they going to go? Right? Where are they going to go? And if you don't have a good low barrier shelter and you don't have a campground under HB 1365, that's the state ordinance about this, because the county has not done this, what do you do? You can move them off of the private property and off of the commercial property and off of the public property, but where are you moving them to? You know, and look, if there's a shelter that's available that will take them, wonderful. But what if there's not? We're just going to, you know, it's going to be like, and I mean, I hate to use this example because it's kind of a brutal example, but you remember in the beginning of the movie First Blood, you know, the first Rambo movie where Sheriff Teagle, you know, Brian Dennehy, you know, picks up Stallone at the edge of town and says, where are you going? You're going south. He takes him to the edge of town. He says, all right, you know, on your way. And turns around and comes back. He's like, yeah, you're not coming back here. Do we just move him to the state, to the state line, the county? You know, like, what's the real solution? Until we have a place for them, move them out of here doesn't really seem like an answer. Now, I think that based on the Supreme Court's analysis of the Oregon case in Grants Pass, it's probably constitutional. All of these laws are probably constitutional. Are they prudent? Are they practical? Are they realistic? That's the right question. And Jen Brer and Charles Baer said, we don't think that it's there yet. I was actually surprised because Tenney Day Broughton had brought up some objections to this. And Delarian Wiggins, who is himself a former law enforcement officer, he brought up, I thought, were reasonable objections to this. Because, again, it's not just having the stove. It's not just having the cardboard box or the tent or previously the car, although that part was taken out. It's the pattern to be observed by the code enforcement or the law enforcement officer. It literally says the above described activities constitute camping when it reasonably appears to a law enforcement or code enforcement officer that in light of all the circumstances, the participants in conducting the activity or activities are in fact using the area as a temporary living accommodation, regardless of the intent of the participants or the nature of any other activities in which they may be also engaging. How many people in an area? How long? You know, very undefined terms, and I thought that his concern about that was fair. Again, Delarian Wiggins.
And as Councilman Baer says, it's very vague. I don't want to see an additional 50-plus homeless people. Now they move them in on this particular piece of property. I won't be supporting this tonight because it doesn't define, one, how many will that property owner be allowed to have on that property. Two, it doesn't give a time span as far as how long they will be able to be on that property.
Yeah, so all of that lack of clarity is an opportunity for disparate impact or inconsistent enforcement. Too much discretion left for, and I love them dearly, but the local law enforcement officer shouldn't be deciding whether you've broken the law or not. It should be you who's able to tell, I have not broken. And under this ordinance, I think it's unclear. I don't know that it's constitutionally unclear. Like it's unconstitutionally unclear, that would be litigated. And I am sure that this ordinance will get litigated. I'm certain of it. Okay. How, that means it's going to be a long process for enforcement. Would it get stayed pending review? I don't know, but they did pass it 5-2. I was trying to think, would I have voted for this or not? I might have been willing to vote for it provisionally and then bring enough changes that I'd be willing to actually support it, because I'd be a no vote on this ordinance as it stands. Okay, but sometimes you pass things on first reading in order to get the better version on second reading. And so I was kind of thinking about that. that's just Andrew's opinion, okay, where I stand. So they did pass it 5-2, Jen Brer and Charles Bear voting against. And then the other one, the state ordinance implementation, they passed that 6-1 with Charles Bear voting against that one. 7:25 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No accidents still to report to you, but I'm seeing some delays if you're heading from Pace into Pensacola via Highway 90, also I-10 eastbound, starting around the Pine Forest exit, going all the way east past the construction zone on Highway 29. You're going to see some delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex, it's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Hello, my name is Ed Carson. Santa Rosa County is one of the fastest growing counties in the nation, and it's not slowing down. Our parks, roads, bridges, and other community amenities have to keep up. I'm urging you to vote yes for the penny sales tax to replace the current half cent tax. This will fund essential community improvements, enhance our quality of life, better protect our families, and improve public works. Please go to SantaRosaYes.com for more information.
Political advertisement paid for by Building Santa Rosa Tomorrow Today.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
National Bosses Day. This is a day for employees to thank their bosses for being kind and fair to them throughout the year. Sounds like a great day, right? Well, some people have opposed this day, saying, and I quote, "It's nothing more than a meaningless Hallmark holiday that places unfair pressure on employees to kowtow to managers who exercise power over them," end quote. Can you believe that? Ladies and gentlemen, if you oppose showing your boss appreciation for your job, I suggest that you don't deserve your job. Well-known political pundit Ben Shapiro often states that the best form of charity is to hire someone and provide a job for them. I completely agree with Shapiro, and not only that, the Bible agrees with Shapiro. If you have a job, rejoice in God's provision for you and take time to show appreciation to the boss that is over you in the Lord.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCo Summit returns October 16th to Pensacola Beach. Sponsored by Data Revolution, this is your opportunity to get connected with top-level cybersecurity, AI, and machine learning industry experts. Featuring a free career fair, Jurassic Park escape room, prizes, and a performance by the ultimate 80s party band, the Molly Ringwalds. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Visit itenwired.com for tickets.
It's Councilwoman Tenny Ade Broughton, thanking you for your overwhelming support in electing me 4 years ago. Because of you, we've been able to secure the most funding for District 5, support small business, improve and strengthen our neighborhoods, and enhance the quality of life for everyone. A vote for me will keep District 5 included in the city's prosperity. We've had strong success. Let's do it again. Re-elect me, Tenny Ade Broughton, City of Pensacola, District 5. Thank you.
Political advertisement paid for and approved by Tenny Ade Broughton, Pensacola City Council, District 5.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Wendy.
Sally!
Darling, light of my life.
I'm not going to hurt you. You didn't let me finish my sentence. I said, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just going to bash your brains
in. Put your best face on everybody.
Watch The Shining the other day. You know what I hate about The Shining? I love The Shining, but you know what I hate about it? It doesn't make sense. I hate movies that don't make sense. And there are so many theories about that movie. Most of them are genuinely insane. David Wayne, of course, the movie itself is pretty wild. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
The Small Business Administration says it's out of money for its disaster loan program after Hurricanes Helene and Milton. They said Tuesday they're pausing new low-interest loan offers until Congress can allocate more funding. And the Supreme Court hearing oral arguments today in a case that could affect disability payments for veterans. The case centers around two veterans that claim to have PTSD issues from their service in the military but were denied benefits.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, coming up next, we're going to talk to Mayor D.C. Reeves, as we typically do on Wednesday at this time. Should be an interesting conversation. Stick around.
I'm CJ Papa. Latino voters on the fence in South Florida have a chance to ask questions during a town hall featuring Donald Trump.
Former president, he's hoping to grow this shift in the Latino voters. He's heading to Miami to speak with voters at Univision Town Hall tonight. And his pitch is really the pocketbook.
Fox's Alexandria Ha for the White House. Vice President Harris sits down for an exclusive interview that airs tonight on Special Reporter Brett Baer. That's at 6 p.m. Eastern on the Fox News Channel. A U.S. Navy aircraft crashes last night east of Mount Rainier in Washington State.
There is one search plane up. It's doing circles around the area. The Navy is not providing any details on the crash. According to USNI News, they report that a naval helicopter was up looking for survivors.
And David Rose at Fox 13 in Seattle. Two crew members are missing. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 52 degrees right now. It is mostly sunny this morning in Pensacola. Looks like a beautiful morning out there. The Pensacola Beach lifeguards are now at their winter staffing levels. That means lifeguards are only patrolling at Casino Beach through the winter season. Lifeguards tell residents and visitors to be extra careful if they go to the beach while lifeguards aren't out patrolling. If you're interested in becoming a lifeguard for next year's season, tryouts are being held December 7th and 8th at the UWF Aquatic Center. Get more information on the county website at myescambia.com. PPD has made an arrest for a church burglary. They say more charges may be pending against that suspect. 20-year-old Jeremy Lang was arrested Monday on charges including burglary, drug and firearm possession, and possession of burglar tools. Police say they found Lang walking near the location of a previously reported burglary. Officers said he matched the description of a suspect they'd been looking for. Seven churches were burglarized between September and mid-October. Lang is charged with one of those burglaries. Currently, PPD says charges are pending in some of the other cases. Getting more information about the investigation into a shooting that happened near Chimes Way Park on Sunday.
Yeah, it looks now like there was two cars involved. One car had been reported to be downtown at a bar, and then they moved to, I guess, Chaser's Lounge up in that area. And when they left that parking lot about a block or so away, another car pulled up to them and just started shooting.
That is Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, and he says that there were two victims. One has died, another is still in the hospital, and he does say investigators have some information about potential suspects, but they're asking anybody with additional information to contact them or to call Crime Stoppers. Looks like estimated insured losses from Hurricane Milton are now approaching $2 billion. The Florida Office of Insurance Regulation said yesterday that estimate is just under $1.9 billion currently. About 150,000 claims were filed as of yesterday. 2,000 claims have been closed with payments made, and over 6,000 have been closed, but so far no payments made in those cases. Tom Brady has reportedly been approved as a minority owner for the Las Vegas Raiders. Reports say NFL owners voted to approve his ownership stake during a meeting on Tuesday. Brady's first bid for a 10% stake in the team last May, the approval process had been stalled due to some owners questioning the price offered to the seven-time Super Bowl champion. Well, bad news for bargain shoppers. Popular Mississippi-based discount chain Dirt Cheap has now filed for bankruptcy and is reportedly planning to close all of its stores. AL.com reporting that the chain's parent company, Channel Control Merchants, filed for bankruptcy in Delaware Monday. The company reportedly plans to close all 68 of its stores across eight states. That includes two locations in Pensacola. No word when those stores will officially close their doors. And it is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. Still no accident on the books right now, which is good news on that, but I am seeing some delays if you're going on I-10 eastbound past the Pine Forest exit all the way through that construction zone. You might want to pack about 10-minute extra time on that one. Also, Highway 90 going from Payson to Pensacola, seeing some delays there also. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 forecast.
Breezy day today with temperatures warming up near 68 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 50 degrees. As you go into Thursday, high near 70 degrees with sunny skies. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 57. Going to be keeping the sunny weather around for Friday with a high near 73 and a low near 63. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 53 degrees in Pensacola, 52 in Gulf Breeze, and in Milton. Our next news at 8. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. United Airlines' third quarter revenue and earnings topped Wall Street estimates. The airline said it would buy back $1.5 billion worth of shares, its first buyback since before the COVID-19 pandemic. United's fourth quarter earnings estimates came in above analyst forecasts as well. Stellantis said it expects a 20% drop in third quarter vehicle shipments after it last month cut profit and cash flow forecasts for the full year. The group estimated it shipped just over 1.1 million vehicles in the third quarter. This is down from the roughly 1.4 million in the same period last year. A federal judge has ruled Facebook parent company Meta must face lawsuits by states accusing it of fueling mental health problems among teens by making its Facebook and Instagram platforms addictive. Futures are slightly higher. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 324, the NASDAQ down 187. That's Your Money Now.
The Port of Pensacola, where history and opportunity converge. Since 1754, they've been a cornerstone of Northwest Florida's economy. And today, they're home to over 20 leading businesses, including C-Mex Materials, General Electric Verona Wind Energy, and the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. More than just a port, they're a vital part of our region's growth. Discover the potential at portofpensacola.com.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
Locally owned and operated, Pensacola Poolscapes offers a lot more than pool liner replacement and pool supplies. Imagine unwinding after a long day in your own luxurious spa where relaxation meets elegance. At Pensacola Poolscapes, they have a stunning selection of high-quality bullfrog spas and swim spas, perfect for soothing those aches, getting fit, and relaxing. And right now, they're offering end-of-summer rebate, just in time to enjoy the upcoming fall weather. Visit them online at PensacolaPoolscapes.com or on Gulf Breeze Parkway across from Tiger Point.
I'm Don Gates, and I stand with Governor DeSantis to stop illegal aliens from invading our state and draining our resources. I'll never allow illegals to get Florida driver's licenses, and I won't spend a penny of taxpayer money on illegals so long as there is one Florida veteran who needs our help or our care. Law enforcement is supporting me because I will give them the tools, the laws, and the backing to arrest illegals who commit crimes and get them out of our country. If Biden can't, or if Biden won't, then Florida must protect our borders and preserve the rule of law. And that's why I'm running for the Senate.
Don Gates, trusted conservative leadership, fighting for Northwest Florida. Paid by Don Gates, Republican for State Senate.
There are approximately 5,000 media market radio stations in the country, and only one was recognized for excellence by winning the prestigious Marconi Award from the National Association of Broadcasters at a ceremony in New York City.
News Radio 92.3,
the Media Market Station of the Year.
Thanks to you.
This is Pensacola's news, weather, and traffic station.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
So I have a problem with this because I don't think it's a necessary ordinance. It's kind of like the way we put things in the Constitution I don't agree with. I don't think we necessarily need this.
And the reality is we have a city to operate, and I'm tasked with operating the city. And we have two gentlemen back there who are tasked with keeping us safe and tasked with adhering to state law. And to not do this and only give ambiguity to our community response specialists, to our community as a whole, for a state law that we must adhere to or be sued, that's not a palatable solution.
We've been talking about this all morning, the camping bans, A and B ban. The A ban, which is on private property and on commercial property, unless you have the permission of the private property owner. And then the B ban, which is to enforce the state HB 1365, that now the county is actually taking up tomorrow. They are also going to pass. Both of those passed on first reading, second reading still to come. The first voice you heard was Charles Baer, second voice, of course, Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mayor joins us now. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before, but, you know, for people who kind of knew the conversation, just to get us up to date, the B ban is to give teeth so that you have something to do to defend against the potential lawsuits coming in January for camping on public areas. The A ban is to expand the definition in order to solve the problem that we are experiencing with homeless people camping on private property and on commercial property, right?
That's correct. Exactly. Yeah. The public, obviously is to adhere to 1365, and the private is to try to, you know, balance making sure that people have access to services who need it and all those other things that we're doing. But also, as we can both, give anecdotal examples across the city, across the county, that has really tied our hands with some of these private property issues and with not much that we can do. We're not trying to impede on anybody's property rights. We're trying to keep people safe, and we're trying to make sure that we balance those two things. And so the private property is trying to address those the best way we can.
You made a really interesting comment. You said in the council meeting, you said that when you meet with your 350 mayors across America and with your, you know, mayoral leadership classes, that like nobody has solved this. But I got some texts in response to that, and it's my own observation that, you know, we just don't have this problem like in Gulf Breeze or in Destin or in some other places. It's sort of like, yes, a lot of people have this problem, but it doesn't quite seem to be everywhere. Have you managed to figure out why it's some places but not everywhere, and why it is such an intractable problem in the places where it does exist?
The best way to describe this, when we talked about housing the other day and you said, man, wouldn't it be nice if we could identify, you know, A and B and C, and we could all have clarity just as a society around what affordable and workforce and all those things mean. Multiply that ambiguity by times 50, and then you have the homeless situation, which is, you know, everybody's got a different opinion. You could see someone on MLK Plaza and say, oh, my gosh, homelessness is out of control. You can look at the Excel spreadsheet that our community response specialists send me every single week with the dozens of interactions that we have and where we get people put into services. And you could look at that and say, man, you know, the city's being proactive. Maybe not every person that's homeless that I see on the street is on drugs or, you know, people have been a flat tire away from being homeless. And so everybody, you talk about not being able to ever really get a full grasp on what believe people's you believe it's fact and about this issue. And I think that's what makes it so complex. There's probably a little veil of truth in all of it, you know, a little in some way. Sometimes we take it a little further and stereotype certain situations that the city is or isn't doing this, the homeless population is or isn't doing this. So that's why it's very, very almost impossible to master, is because what is success? So if success is I don't see someone on my drive to work today, that might be success and it might not be.
Right.
It depends on what's going on. And so, listen, why 350 mayors? I'm probably one of the smallest cities in U.S. Conference of Mayors, certainly in the leadership group, maybe the second or third smallest. You see more visible homelessness where there's bigger populations. So you want to use an example like Gulf Breeze. Take Gulf Breeze, for example. Where is – if these are folks that are panhandling – are wanting, you know, access to pedestrian, where is that center in Gulf Breeze? Just as an example. So, you know, I mean, it's Highway 98, which is probably not, an ideal place for someone who's not wanting a hand up but wanting a hand out. And so naturally you're going to see more visible homelessness in areas where there's a larger population base. That's just
I very much agree with your assessment that it's such a complicated problem, because take any given unhoused person or homeless person, and then, you know, look across the spectrum of things that might be true or not true of them. Has a job, doesn't have a job, uses alcohol, uses drugs, doesn't use either one or the other, has a pet, doesn't have a pet, has kids, doesn't have kids, has a car, doesn't have a car, has enough money to afford shelter once in a while, has mental illness, doesn't have mental illness, wants help, doesn't want help. And all of a sudden you've got 40 or 50 different combinations, and solving a global problem, as you say, the end result is people really just don't want to see them, on the way to work. How do you know you're winning without dashboard or comprehensive research? I mean, it's hard to know. Mayor, hang on for just a second. I'm going to let you respond, but I want to get a quick traffic report from John with Traffic on the Fives. John?
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. No accidents to let you know about. I-10, I-110 looking good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Five.
Thanks so much, John. So just to follow up on that, Mayor Reeves, I know you're a big devotee of having the data, having the information, studying the problem. I think a community dashboard that has as much information as possible about who is, what age, if they're getting treatment, where they're at in the process would help us feel like we are or are not making progress. But I wanted to give you a chance to respond because I threw a lot at you, but go ahead.
Yeah. No, listen, that's exactly right. We all define success or lack thereof in this topic completely differently, whether you're a nonprofit that's helping reduce homelessness, whether you're someone that goes to a bar on Palafox and sees someone. Everybody defines it differently, and that's what makes it kind of hard to tackle. It almost, perhaps, depending on who you're talking to, unattainable. All you have to do is go read my email, the spectrum of emails from I'm over policing homelessness, and then I'll get one an hour later because I'm doing nothing about it. And,
right.
And so it's a tough situation, but we just got to stick to helping people that need a hand up, and our citizens. For when you talk about aggressive panhandling and things like that, that's my biggest recommendation to people is do not support panhandlers. You want less visible homelessness, then ask your family and your friends to not be giving money out of their window. That does not solve any problem. We have tons of services available here that can help people who need help. And I think that's what I think cities battle, for the most part.
Yeah, it is. Definitely.
Anyway, it's a tough situation.
Yeah,
sure.
It's a self-inflicted wound. You know, we're generous, we're helpful, we're a lot of high Christian population, and we feel good about giving. We want to give. I mean, this goes back to my Leadership Pensacola class did a thing on a better way to give, avoid the pan. And, you're right. You get what you feed.
Yep.
Right. And so, we're reinforcing a behavior that we're trying to curb. Other topics I wanted to make sure that we talked with you about at least a little. Did I hear you right and say that Marina Corey with DPZ is going to come work on Community Maritime Park?
Yeah, that's right. So
that's a huge win for us. That's great. I'm sorry. Go ahead. That's great.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's all right. No, during our conversation about Parcel 5, there's lots of conversation about making sure that what in 2019, the West Main Master Plan, that the citizens said, this is what we want, making sure that we held to that. So if you recall, before the lease got approved, we kind of had her analyze it and give her thoughts, and we made, we had the Dawson group make some adjustments, to that. And you know, I think that was appreciated by the council and by the citizens. And so I said, well, after that meeting, I said, well, why don't we take it a step further? Why don't we hire her as our consultant of the city? So if she's in the room as this building is being designed, and really a process I'd like to repeat at every parcel that we do there, as long as I'm the mayor, is to say, hey, now we have, no one can refute what Marina believes meets the West Main master plan, because I don't know, she wrote it.
Right.
I think that will be really valuable. She doesn't get some authoritative, you know, approval or anything like that, but her job is to be in the room with Gensler, who's a world famous architect. They'll do a great job, but she's able to just be in there, listen to those conversations, and be able to just make sure that our plan is reflected. So that was just trying to take it another step further and give that level of comfort to our council and to our citizens to make sure that that.
No, I think it's great. I think that one of the big failures at the county is that they brought in DPZ to do the one master plan at OLF 8, and then because of personality conflicts, and they couldn't, you know, they decided that they didn't want to work with her again for the Beulah master plan. Like, that would have been the perfect thing. They know the community, they're fantastic, and they know how to integrate with the other stuff. But no, so that, I mean, that's a big win for the city. Congratulations on that. Let's just talk briefly. We don't have a lot of time, but the Cobb Center, what is the plan?
Yeah, so it's about a $1.7 million lift. You know, Andrew, I can't go on your show for too many weeks without having something broken that I need to fix. But,
I know. So, a lot, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just you name it. But Cobb Center, it was on its way to where Malcolm Young was found when I got here. And I said that during the Malcolm Young saga, was hey, this building is probably too far gone, and when the council in 2020 – pulled $715,000 away from this project. They signed the death certificate at that time. And now we have an opportunity to not let that happen on my watch. So it's about a $1.7 million lift for the roof, for the Beulah arches that were much debated, that were, you know, I don't know if we can find that guy that said they're going to do them for $200,000, but our price is $1.7 million. So,
wow.
You know, and I think this only reinforces, this is a community center in much better shape than Malcolm Young was in. And we're at our price tag just for the outside envelope, nothing inside, is $1.7 million. But this is the right thing to do. This is a community center that is in the public good. It's being used by our city and our children right now, not leased out to someone else. And we have a chance to catch it before it gets to where Malcolm Young died. So very excited to work with Councilwoman Broughton on that. And it's a vital part of that East Side neighborhood. So Roy Jones Jr. was there with us, Commissioner May.
Yep.
So it was a very good day in the city to start the process and announcement that we're going to save that building.
And also, just, I mean, as a sort of a note, a very similar architectural style as the Malcolm Young Center. And people who don't maybe know the two of them separately might have been confused. Like, I thought we tore that down, you know, because they look so similar,
they
right?
Look very similar, yeah.
I'll just give you 20 seconds. They're going to tear down the home you lived in that also was lived in by, who was the historic figure that lived there and all of a sudden? Vince Wibbs, right?
Did Vince Wibbs live there? I don't know about that. I know.
I thought that's what Channel 3 said, was that Vince Wibbs lived there at one time. Maybe I heard them wrong.
Well, I was 2 years old when I left there, so I don't have a lot of memories. But nonetheless, you know, look, it's kind of interesting. People, you know, this is private property rights and someone's ability to do something.
Yep.
And this is our government in action. We said, hey, we put in a rule that says we can delay a demolition for 60 days to be able to further analyze it. I think that process, you know, we'll see what happens at that ARB meeting this week, but I expect that to take place. And look, it's a dilemma. You know, the builder's a good Pensacola person, Pensacola family that is invested in the city. And if that's their right to do on private property, you know, again, you know, I'd love to conserve every piece of character that we have within reason. And if that happens here, great. But again, certainly no one can say that they're not more personally invested in this this project than me, in terms of this being the home I came to after Baptist Hospital on March 25th, 1984. But, you know, nonetheless, we've got to navigate those two things. And so it's a difficult situation. And we'll see how it plays out and see what their plans ultimately are.
I may have been wrong about the Vince Wibbs. It was somebody, and I was looking on the WEAR story to see if I could remember who it was. But if it was Vince Wibbs and it was two mayors, then I think we probably ought to keep it. But yeah, I get that you have the process. Hey, the lightning round, we always like to end with the quick round. First question for you. Last week it was beer and pizza, National Beer and Pizza Day. Beer is obviously the right drink to go with pizza. What's the wrong drink to go with pizza?
Yeah, I mean, I've never craved a glass of Cabernet or anything. When I was
all right, it's too much of a milk, it's too much of a socioeconomic milk. Clash to have red wine with your pizza. All right, I get you. A lot of movie trilogy. Yeah. What's that?
I said, or milk. That would be a weird one, too.
That's right. Super weird, John Pickens. Super weird to drink milk with your pizza. John drinks milk with his pizza. A lot of movies out there, trilogies plus 3, 8, 10 series long. What's your personal favorite trilogy plus movie series?
Remember, you know, I always get beat up on the show because I haven't seen Star Wars.
It's okay. We're not gonna focus
Indiana
on that.
Jones. Yeah, so I'm trying to even think. It would be some... It's not going to be a fun answer, Andrew. It's not going to be, you know, I'm trying to think. It's going to be like, you know, some three versions of Dumb and Dumber or something. Remember, that's my favorite movie.
Naked Gun. All right, fair. No, I'll let you slide on that.
That's pretty good.
And then the last one,
nothing comes top of mind. I don't watch all those sci-fi movies.
You're busy running businesses in a city. Who's got time to watch all that TV? I got you.
Exactly.
Yeah, I do. last one. You'll like this because you're a sports guy. Would you rather have your team win a blowout victory that's boring because it's such a blowout, or lose a narrow, nail-biter, exciting, thrilling game?
Oh, I mean, absolute blowout. We're not here to make friends. you know, we're 56-0. 100-0. I mean, there's nothing worse than an L. I mean, a painful loss. We can't handle that. We can win 200-0. That's okay.
Well, there's a lot of people on your side on that one. That's not my view, but that's fair. That's why I like to ask. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure, sir. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you so much for the time.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
John Pickens got traffic on the fives in between his pizza and milk.
I know, but it's yummy. Okay, I-10 eastbound, we're seeing some delays. If you're heading toward Highway 29, it's backed up all the way to the 9 Mile exit or entrance, however you want to look at it, through that construction zone. Also seeing some delays if you're rolling on Highway 90 from Pace into Pensacola, right before the scenic highway split right there. You're going to see about a 20-minute delay. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
That's right. Somebody texted me. It was not Vince. I think it was Judge Roger Vinson is who lived there. So thank you. You guys are the best. Thank you so much.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
New South Window lives southern weather, and our products are designed to keep the intense heat out and the cool air in. We prioritize keeping your family and your home comfortable all year round. That's why our energy-efficient windows and doors are made, installed, and guaranteed for life.
For a limited time only, save 35% off on New South Windows and Doors. Visit newsouthwindow.com/radio to learn more.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Logic clearly dictates that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Did you give it up? Did you give it up? Did you give it up? Did you give it up?
Oh, by the way, can I tell you, I had three different people text me that was Roger Vinson. You guys are the best. You really are. I really appreciate that. Correcting me and guiding me, making sure I don't say dumb things. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a very quick headline for us. David?
Yeah, the search continues for two aviators who are missing after a Navy aircraft crashed near Mount Rainier in Washington State. That went down yesterday during a training flight. I believe two missing crew members were the only people on board.
Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.